Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 24th of December, and I'm recording at 11:10 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Sorry that's a little later than usual. Now, what's happened here today? Well, first, Wall Street has shown its resilience once again. More on that in a moment, but I'll just start my review with the Asia-Pacific markets, as I often do. And Japan, which is overbought in the short term, and it pulled back a little bit further, but only a quarter of a percent on the Nikkei 225 today. Mainland China was the main story here in the markets today, although the Hang Seng Index also managed a third of a percentage point a gain here also, but it's still below that 24,000 level, but by only 79 points at this stage, which is not much on index at 23,921. Okay, the China A shares had a good gain, and that was they were up 1.47%, and that took the index up nearly 34 points to 2,343 and change, 2,343 and change. Now, that's a new closing high for the year, and it's in line with my view that the Chinese government really does want to see a stronger stock market in here, as they believe that that would help the economic recovery, and I think they're absolutely right in that respect. It'll certainly improve confidence. And we've seen a couple of big downward dynamics in this current trading range for China, certainly indicating that there's some disagreement and some profit taking, and that a consolidation is underway. But the new closing high is impressive, and if we get upside follow through tomorrow, that will be it'll be reaffirming my view that the government is trying to help this market to move higher. And it's a very interesting story. I know that China's got lots of problems, but name a country that doesn't here right now. And it still has a slowing GDP growth rate, but it is one of the fastest growing regions overall. But that's not the main story for its appeal and attractiveness, its valuations. They are very cheap, very attractive on a global basis, and that certainly is enough for my considerable interest in China here right now. Elsewhere, Australia down 3/4 of a percentage point here today, trying to bottom down here. I think it probably is, but that decline is disappointing. Nevertheless, it'd be good to see an upward dynamic in here, and we certainly haven't seen that yet. India, which fell back from its high, from its all-time high yesterday, with a bit of a downward dynamic, it drifted a little lower here today. Still ranging overall. Elsewhere, it was quiet generally and mixed, although I note New Zealand's up a third of a percent today. Now, what else? Moving on to Europe. Well, we've got some green signs here for a change, and the FTSE MIB, that's the Italian market, led the gains. It usually leads on percentage gains or losses, and it's been more losses in the last couple of months. But it was up 1.67% today, and there are some other good gains. France up 1.25%, and the Euro Stoxx 50 up nearly as much. Looks like everything was to the upside in Europe here. here today. But the problem for Europe, in addition to its very, very weak GDP growth, which I attribute a lot of that to bureaucratic policies that we have within the single currency. But these are compounded by the sanctions that necessary sanctions, in my view, that they've taken out against Russia. And sanctions cause some pain for Russia, certainly, but they also cause pain for the countries that impose them, and inevitably there are reprisal sanctions, as we have also seen. Now, this is probably no more than a medium-term influence, but one of the things that this service has said about global markets is that they're an international beauty contest. In other words, investors from all over the world, they look around and what looks attractive, and sanctions, well, there's uncertainty there. They don't know how long they'll last, and they know that it's negative for GDP while they actually persist. So it's a good reason to look somewhere else. So I don't think you'll get a strong performance here from Europe, unless we get some concessions from Putin, and I'm not holding my breath. But you never know. Okay, now Europe was also certainly helped by Wall Street's gains, and they were fairly sharp. So we had some buying, and no doubt we also had some short covering because there's been a lot of nervousness on Wall Street recently. Well, were there triggers? There usually are. And on the daily data that we had, new home sales were actually surprisingly strong. And also the healthcare shares, which had been hit yesterday, they also had gains in here today. And here are the figures. The Nasdaq did best. This is the composite, up just over 1%. The S&P up a little over 0.75%, and the Dow up 0.9 of a percentage point. So moves to the upside that are actually today, which are actually a little bit bigger than some of the moves we've seen to the downside over the previous 3 days. So it's a nice bounce back, and any follow through tomorrow would indicate that it's postponing that long overdue 10% correction for a little bit further. But we've got a nervous environment here, and it's not that surprising. If we can just see choppy activity ranging and correcting some of the overbought conditions, that would be a very good performance. And what else could we attribute that to? Well, we know that monetary policy is still very accommodative overall, even though the quantitative easing is going to be ended next month. But we also have these very, very low interest rates, and those are going to persist for certainly for at least the medium term, and it could be quite a lengthy medium term. Okay, well, what else has happened here in these markets? And government bonds, so with stock markets rallying, we saw, not surprisingly, some small increases in the actual yields. The US 10-year, for instance, was up a bit at 2.5637 percent, currently in a short-term trading range overall. But as I said, taking its cue from the stock market here today, and it often does. Now, elsewhere, the U.S. dollar index. Now, that's heavily weighted. The euro is, Owen and I were looking at this earlier today. The euro is over 57% of the weighting of this dollar index, and the euro is quite weak. That will help Europe over the medium term. That slipped to 1.2779 against the U.S. dollar. I believe that's a new reaction low during this setback that we've been seeing. Sterling, I think, was a little lower, but it's certainly firmer than the euro. Is it? Sterling's at 1.6334. It's been at that level, or just very close to that level now for I think for at least a couple of weeks. But I was finished saying, didn't finish giving you that background on the weighting for the DXY dollar index. I did mention that just over 57% for the euro in there, but also the Swiss franc, I believe, is pegged to the to the euro, and so that takes that weighting up to over 60%. Japan's in there with 11%, and then a couple of more. Two or three more European countries. Okay, but the overall background here is for against other currencies, U.S. dollars, for the most part, quietly steady overall, and I think that will certainly continue while we have these nervous conditions in terms of various global events, and that's going to persist, clearly going to persist for a while. What about the commodity markets? Same story for the most part. Precious metals, well, mostly a little bit weaker. Palladium's an exception, up $1.30, but that's minimal at it's at 817 overall. Platinum's the weakest. It's down 16. And that's at 1316.70. Silver had one of its sharper falls this morning, regained most of it, but it's currently down just over 9 cents at 17.685. So these precious metals, oh, let me round it out with gold, and that's at $1,217, so that's down 6.30 in here to today. So these precious metals very oversold, clearly overextended here in the short term, but the buyers are wary, and I think there are some fairly aggressive short sellers in there. It's interesting, Goldman Sachs, emboldened by the move to the downside, which they're helping to create, repeated their forecast that we would see 1050. They're still talking about that by the end of the year. You never know, but I'd be awfully surprised if that actually occurred. Then you had some other forecasts talking about going to 1150 sometime next year from another firm, but the bears are still in charge. That's the main story. And if you just want to check out how that dollar is doing against stock markets, we've got some indicators in the library which will show you, and you can see that ratio between the performance of gold and the Dow Jones Industrial Average. I've posted that on a number of occasions in the past, and obviously the Dow is still outperforming gold. So personally, as you know, I think it's a bit cheap, but there's nothing to say that it won't get somewhat cheaper still. before we get some strong demand coming in. And oil prices, I think they're a little bit firmer in here today. Well, actually, let me just check this because I think this has changed a little bit quite recently. The WTI, that's the US, that's up $1.34 today to 92.90. And let me see, just bring up the apologies for the delay here. Let's see what the Brent, which is the more important one here today, and that's at currently also higher at 96.95, but still within those downtrends, still oversold in the short term. The story that Owen wrote about was that China is no longer increasing its stockpile of petroleum, which is, of course, well, it can be expensive to actually hold and add to. And China's hanging on to some of its cash here for the moment for other priorities. And I think China also has a fair amount of oil in its stockpile, as does the USA. So, there's quite a bit of oil here sloshing around still in this slow economy, and that ties in with the long-term view that I've been airing for several years now, that we were gradually moving away from a very tight supply-demand balance, a risky one. If you get a spike to the upside in the price of crude for any reason, but we were gradually moving away from that. My forecast, long-term forecast for several years, has been that towards the end of the year, beg your pardon, towards the end of the decade, we'd be seeing lower prices in crude, clearly established, and I mentioned also in real terms, but we don't have a whole lot of inflation in these economies at the moment, except for the things that you need to spend for family requirements. Those are still moving up, unfortunately. Okay, what else is relevant in here? Grains and beans at tiny bit firmer, but not much. So again, I think that's most of the story here. I just noticed that Russia had a decent gain in here today, and it had fallen quite a bit in previous weeks. That wasn't all that big. It wasn't an upward dynamic or anything like that, but it was firmer. It's encountering some support near some previous lows overall, and when we get Russia firmer, that's usually a suggestion that we're not going to get any big drama on the military front there. Let's hope that continues. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.